Lord, again, thank you. Thank you that we can just take these moments and walk through your word. Help us to remove everything that in this moment will take us away from hearing what you are trying to say. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read from John chapter 13, and I preached on this about 2 years ago, but it's not the same sermon. Not that you would have remembered. It's always scary when you do that. People make notes and they say, oh yeah, he did this 2 years ago. Too lazy to work. It was just before the Passover. And Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Well then, Lord, said Simon Peter, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Boy, Peter, always Peter. Jesus answered, those who've had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. When he'd finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than their master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Don't know if you remember the story about the dad who had to take care of the two boys on the Saturday and decided to make some pancakes for breakfast. So as the pancakes were getting ready, the two boys got into an argument about who's going to have the first pancake. Dad saw this as a beautiful teaching moment. So Dad said to the boys, boys, if Jesus was here, he would let his brother have the first pancake. The older boy looked to the younger boy and he says, you be Jesus today. I don't know if you'll agree with me, but often it is hard to make God's love real in this world. We rather want someone else to be Jesus. But here's the thing. God looks at us, each one of us, you, me, and he says, I want you to go into this world, be my hands and my feet, and make my love real. Give your sister, your brother, the pancake. And let's unpack that a little bit. How do we make God's love real, actively real in this world? And Jesus uses, and it's a parable that he's doing right here. It's a word picture that he's showing them, and then he puts it into action. How do we do that? And he starts off the two verses that it hinges on is verse 12 and 15, where Jesus says, after washing feet, he says to them, do you realize what I've done for you? For I have given you an example that you should follow. And can you remember 2 years ago when I said the word example, hupodeikma in Greek, means to follow the pattern of or to imitate. I actually used the example because I don't think many of us will remember it anymore. In the days when we still made clothes, you would go buy a pattern and you would make from that pattern, you would make the dress or the trouser or whatever you were making. Someone else wanted to make that, they followed the pattern and it was exactly the same. Jesus says, I'm giving you, and maybe in today's language for the younger ones, I'm giving you a template. Here's a template that you need to use. Follow that so that you can look like me and become me in this world and make my love real. How do we do that? Three things. Number one, if we want to make God's love real in this world, we need to go on a downward journey. Let me explain that. First century society wasn't much different from ours. It was a typical top-down pyramidal society. And if you're anything like me, that you have a home in which you live and you drive a car and you have a job, you're part of that top 1%. But the big question is this: how do I move from there to there and become Jesus and make Jesus' love real for those who are not there? To illustrate that, Jesus does the foot washing. Because here's the thing. If I wanted to wash Hank's feet today, it wouldn't help me much to say, Hank, stand up, lift up your foot, I'm going to wash your foot. Hank wouldn't be able to lift his foot even. Maybe he can do it better, higher than I can. And how am I going to wash his foot? If I want to wash Hank's foot, I have to get down from here, go down, put a basin down there, go on my knees and wash Hank's feet. I have to go down. Down. So that I can become Jesus. And that beautiful image of washing feet is a very intimate moment. When you take those feet and you wash them, and you dry them, and you bless. If you want to make Jesus' love real in this world, my friends, I need to get off that throne, and I need to go right down to that ground, and then I can make Jesus' love real. Isn't that what he said to them? He says, you call me Lord and Master, and rightly so, for that is exactly what I am. But a student is not more than their master. If I am your Lord and your Master, and I went down and I washed your feet, I have given you an example that you too should follow. The only way in which I can make the love of God real in this world is when I go down. And I don't stand here and presume that I can tell you what to do, because I don't. I can't tell you, so go out, here's five things, you do the five things, you're good, God's going to give you a little badge, and you're going to be all fine and dandy. Says, he made, she made God's love real. Nope. You'll have to hear God. You'll have to be that little boy standing and hearing his dad say, if Jesus was here, he'd give his brother the first pancake. And you'll have to know when God is saying, I need you to give your brother, your sister, the first pancake. But it's a practical thing. It's not a cerebral thing. It's a hands and a feet and a life thing. And let me give you an example of how this happened in my own life and in what it does in your own life. Way back in South Africa, Waverly, it was about 6 months in when I was there, when I was called there. There was this wonderful young man, his name is Gerard. You can see he was a good Dutch boy. Gerard had his own struggles. He couldn't work. He was in his late 20s. Was subsidized by the state. So lived with his mom. Dad passed away. Gerard would always sit right in the back of the church. Big smile on his face. All alone. But when it came to after, when we had coffee and tea and all this stuff, Gerard would be there not to drink the coffee and the tea, but to serve. He would always serve. He was always helping there. And when they were done, he was in the kitchen and he was washing cups and he was putting cups away. And he'd fold the tables and put the tables away. He just served and you could just see him smile brightly. And God put this thing in my heart. You need to be Jesus to this boy. And you need to show him how much I care for him. And I said, I don't know how. And then I realized I knew how. I went to the elders. Now remember, Dutch Reformed Church, you have elders and you have deacons. The deacons, they take up collection in the church on a Sunday. They also go out. Be grateful you don't have those. They go to your house every month and they come with their little book, with their receipts, and they ask you for your givings. And you have to give them your givings. They write it in the book and then they take it back to church. That's a kind of hard job to do, I got to tell you. So deacons, elders, I went to the elders and I said, we need to make Gerard a deacon because he's a servant. Because you know what diakonos means? It means servant. The one who goes out and serves. We need to make him a deacon. And so the Sunday came that they stood there and they were installed in becoming deacons. And when it came to Gerard's turn to say congratulations, Gerard stood there and he couldn't say a word. The tears just ran down his cheeks and he didn't let go of my hand. And the only words that came out were, thank you, thank you, thank you. And in that moment, Christ happened for me. And I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus in action. Because that's what happens when you go on a downward journey. Christ happens. Christ's joy happens in your life. Second thing, to make God's love real, not only do we go on a downward journey, we need a little TLC. We need to take a little time to listen and connect. Can I take you back to this scripture? And actually, you'll see this when we do Elijah in the next few weeks as well. You'll see it. When Jesus comes to Peter, Peter has all these questions. Peter has all these things. He says, no, Lord, you can't wash my feet. Peter, I have to wash your feet. Otherwise, you don't have part in me. Well, Lord, then not just my feet, then my hands and my head and the whole works as well. Relax, Peter. When I've washed your feet, you're good. Did you see what Jesus did? He didn't just say, Peter, just shut up now. You always have something to say. I'm tired of this nonsense. Be quiet. Let me wash your feet. Let me get on with this. He takes time to listen and to connect. Let me explain to you, Peter. This is what it is, Peter. And Peter understood. I'm going to give you that in a second. And when I think of that and when I wrote this down, I thought, and this is so exactly not the world in which we live. We don't take time to listen and to connect anymore. We're really good with this. We're really good at sitting together and doing this. Are we connecting? Are we listening? Are we loving? I went to the diner not too long ago. Mom, dad, and a beautiful young girl walk in, come sit their table right next to us. They order from the menu. Dad's got his phone out immediately, and he's on the phone. Mom and the girl are talking, and they kind of want to involve him. Dad is busy. Then Dad discovers some or other something. There might have been a video, and he wants this young girl, 8, 9 years old, wants her to watch this video. The young girl says, Dad, can I do that at home, please? Can we just have a nice conversation together? Dad loses it. Loses it. He's viciously angry about this, and then sulks like a little baby, puts the phone away, folds his arms, and didn't say a word, ate his food, paid for it, got up and walked out. How do you make God real when you don't take time to listen and to connect? I said this to you before. The Zulu people from where I come have a beautiful way of greeting you. They say, Sawubona. Bona in Zulu means to see. When they say Sawubona, they're saying, I see you. I see you. We come and we say, how's it going? I'm good. So, Barna, take time to listen and to connect. Because when you do that, Christ happens. Allison and I told you this happened. I wrote this before this morning. Christ happens for me every Sunday. Sometimes before church, sometimes after church. I'm down here, little Kira will come flying in here. Aubrey, look what we did in the Sunday school. Look what we got from the Sunday school. Oh, and we're going for a barbecue this afternoon. And this is what we're going to eat. And mommy did this last night and daddy did. You didn't know she told me all that, did you, Jeff? And then I get this huge hug from Kira. She takes time every Sunday to come connect with me and show me his love. Kira ran in this morning. Aubrey, it's your birthday. It's your birthday. And she made me a birthday card. She didn't know I was going to talk about her in this place. And here you go. And Christ happened for me. And she made God's love real. A wee little girl like this. Can we take an example? Because God's kingdom is an upside down kingdom. Upside down. Where the poor are the rich, where the last are first, when the small are the greatest. But you can't go there if you're sitting up there. You have to go on a downward journey and make time and listen, and then you connect, not just with each other, but then this connection connects. One more thing. Making God's love real is not just going down and doing a little TLC, but it also redefines our identity. I told you I'll come back to this. Peter. Peter was, come on, do this for me. And I'm the... When Peter writes in one of his little letters, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, he starts this way. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Did you see the first word? A servant. Peter remembered that moment when Jesus went, when Jesus went down. And he would remember to be a servant. And in that moment, Peter remembers that he moves from that small kingdom of me, mine, my, myself, to that large kingdom of God and of others. And if you look at his life, he didn't just say this. He lived this. This wasn't his way of trying to get brownie points from God. This was Peter's life, his attitude, and how he lived, even how he died, because when he died on a cross like his Lord. We're redefined in our identities. And when I do that, that's when the miracles happen. That's when I see God in others. And I experience God's love changing my life. It will happen when you do this in your marriages. It will change them. It will happen in your workplace. It will change them. It will happen in your school. It will change them. So I think I smell God making pancakes. Are you ready for those? Amen. Let's pray. You made your love real, Father God, because you sent your Son into this world to show us your love. You made God's love real, Lord Jesus, when you, God, God himself, said, I'll become flesh and blood like one of them. I'll walk on that earth. And you always took time, Lord. You stopped for a leper. You took time with a blind man. You had a moment at the pool of Bethesda. Even on the cross when you were dying, you had time to say, will you take care of my mother? And Father, will you forgive them? They don't have an idea, because that's who you are. King of kings and Lord of lords, and yet you died on the cross. Thank you that we have an example that we may follow, that you have given. Thank you for making your love real in our lives. Help us to make your love real in this world. We pray in that amazing name, the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen.